So if you've ever had the chance to ask a customer how reliable does the product or service you're providing need to be, you're more than likely going to be given the response that, well, I don't want it to fail. Speaking as a customer, when I go to the store, the products I take home are the ones that should just work. I don't expect them to fail. I don't want them to fail. On the other hand, as a reliability professional, when it fails, I'm pretty interested as to why it did and what happened. But it's not something I want to happen. And I would say, in a general sense, most customers are in that realm where they're just not, they're not interested in buying products that are failing. And I even had one customer said, you know, I fully understand that not every product can work as you ship it, and not every one of them will work for 5 years, which I expect this product to do. But then he went on to say, that's fine. You can have a 20% failure rate in the first year, just as long as you send me one of the other 80% that's going to work for the first year. Just make sure you send me the good ones. So it's, and as you know, it's not always possible to only ship the good products if you have any failure rate whatsoever. We all do to some extent. It's one of the things that keeps us in business is that everything fails at one point or another. So part of what we need to do is help our customers and our design teams understand what it is that they want. What does a customer mean when they say, I want a reliable product? And there's lots of different metrics and measures out there, but let's go over it at a relatively high level and talk about some of the elements that go into finding out what customers really want and how to use that information. Now, the primary thing that we start with is a reliability goal and setting requirements. Now, at first, this may be given to us by the customer. It may be looking at the market and what's acceptable, and it may be just an educated guess on our part. The goal should include the four elements that come right off the definition of reliability. Well, what's its function? What's it supposed to do? In which environment? And for how long? And with what probability of success? Those are the four elements of a fully stated reliability goal. Simply saying a product is, a customer says, well, I want it to last for 5 years. Now, that may be a critical piece of information, but it's not sufficient. Well, in what environment, in what set of functions, and with what probability? Now, they're probably going to say, as I opened with, well, I don't want any of them to fail, 100% reliability. And we say, well, that's not technically possible. We'd have to give you redundancy and triple the weight of it, quadruple the cost. And whoa, 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 let's back up. What can I get for $100? And, oh, you can get 95% reliability at 5 years. All right, let's do that. That's an acceptable risk for the price. But it starts that kind of discussion by, and it may not be that overt, but the idea is that we know that the product has a finite probability of failing over any duration for all kinds of different reasons. Now, for the ones that we can control and design for, and the ones that are most likely scenarios that would lead to failures, then we need to take due diligence to see what we can do to make that right and quantify what that acceptable risk is. So if it's okay to say, well, there's a 5% chance it would fail in the first 5 years, that will depend on the consequence of the failures, the cost of the product, and all the other attributes and use and surrounding elements that go into deciding, is that an acceptable risk? Now, if it's a satellite that has to work for 5 years, we'll probably take steps to improve the reliability at the five-year point. Where if it's a consumer product that's at relatively low cost and easy to replace, we may not be worried too much about trying to achieve a 95% reliability at 5 years. But the customers probably have a sense of what is good enough. And one way for us, or a couple of ways for us to go about finding out what those requirements are, is surveys. Ask questions. Go to the market. and ask, how reliable should this be? What are other products and similar technologies in this space? How long do they last? So a variety of different ways of understanding by just simply asking the people that are going to be using this product, let's go find out. The other thing we can do is benchmarking. And in the reading, there's a section that's just on benchmarking. And this is different than industrial tourism. This is looking at processes and ways of doing business that may be in a different industry than yours, but provide insights of how to improve your own processes and business. And so benchmarking for reliability performance would be looking at other products that may be more mature in your existing industry, but similar in the marketplace for where your product is going to go. And how long do those products last? What's the expected performance? Not just the warranty terms, but how long do the customers expect them to operate? And so benchmarking, looking at how do other industries set their warranty and expected life benefits. The combination with surveys is looking at what the competition is doing in that realm. One example is the white appliances, the dishwasher, washing machine, dryer, refrigerator, those kinds of appliances. They tend to have a 10-year expected lifetime or greater. And warranties and some of the parts may go out for 10 years. But there's a connection between how often a customer will repurchase the same brand if it lasts 10 years versus if it lasts less than that. And it's kind of a milestone mark in that industry that if your particular brand works for 10 plus years, as a customer, you're much more likely to have a favorable impression of that product and go buy it again. So it's that kind of phenomena that may back you into a specific set of reliability requirements. In those white appliances, is at least 10 years of duration with a very low probability of failure would be set on that kind of criteria. The other way to find out the requirements is to build some prototypes, do some early testing, and find out what's even possible from the technology point of view, but then also get it in the hands of some customers and ask them, well, how long would you expect this to have to operate? How long before you get your value, the benefit of the purchase of this product? And then how long would you expect it to operate in your office, in your home, in your factory? So it's simply, it's ask or survey or look around, and then in some cases, go build some prototypes. Another tool that's in the reading, but it's also part of the oftentimes considered a quality tool, is looking at quality function deployment. That's I'm not quite sure where the name came from, but QFD is also called the House of Quality. And it's because of the structure of this diagram. Get a pen up here. So basically from surveys or from market research, you may list a number of different customer needs. It's basically what they expect this particular product to do. And then I look at, well, what are the design features that would deliver on those customer needs? So if it's a cell phone and one of the needs is that it has to be comfortable in my hand, then the design features may be size and weight. And those two items, let's say it's size and weight, and this is comfort. So let's say one of the customer needs is comfort. And in order to do that, maybe two of the design features would be size and weight. And the ranking then could be on a scale of, say, 1 to 5. And if they're very tightly connected, it may be a 5. And if it's loosely connected or not connected, we give it a lower score. So let's say in this particular case, I give these two scores 4. And you go through this matrix and figure out how each of these design features helps to meet the customer's expectations, their needs. So now I'm translating what the customer is saying they want on this side to what we put in the design specifications for the product. Now we can also look at in the roof of the house is how size relates to each of these other requirements. And then they may be reinforcing, they may be contradictory, and there's a set of scoring or scores or indicators there to help sort out where's the trade-offs in my design features. And then I look at my customer needs and these rankings to figure out which is the most important to get right. Another piece of the house is this looking at the targeted values. These might be the size actual specification. So we may give an X, Y, and Z total size of the product and actually list those here. But then also list what the other competitors are doing in that space. How well are they meeting the customer's need for comfort? Which is a squishy requirement, comfort. But how well do we actually meet that? And the way we are specifying it in our requirements. And then you can also look at competitors' products and how well they are meeting the customer's needs and seeing how your product may be unique in that realm, may meet different customer needs more accurately or more efficiently than your competitors. But the basic idea is that you take the customer needs and from that create a set of design features and specific values. And then you take those design features and put them into this left room of the house and then create your operating requirements, your factory requirements, for example, process control. And you can nest these QFD charts. I think we're going to talk about QFD in much more detail in a later lesson when we talk about design. But it certainly applies to reliability, is I want a reliable product. And so what are the design features that actually relate to and allow us to accomplish achieving a reliable, as the customer expects, product? So customers talk to us in many different ways. They may give us vague or unclear requirements or impossible requirements. I just want a perfect product. Or they may say something that is difficult to interpret what they really mean by it. Well, I want a product that lasts 5 years. Well, is that with high probability or average probability? Or what's the rest of this reliability requirement? Or they may give you very detailed requirements and anywhere in between, from nothing at all to just what's acceptable in the market to, well, basically you get the idea, is customers aren't always clear as to specifying reliability. And the one thing you can be certain of is that it's always going to be changing. Customers want things faster, cheaper, all those elements from the design, more features at less cost, and so on. But they also, in the reliability sense, they want more probability of success, more reliability, in harsher and more varied environments. They also want more functions, and they also want it to last longer. So those white appliances that are currently at about 10 years is an acceptable duration for them, that may eventually move up to 15 to 20 years. And so all of these elements of the reliability function change over time as customers' expectations and demands continue to evolve. In the next section, we'll look at what is a major part of most every product. It's the supply chain and suppliers' contribution to our system's reliability.